Folks, there's a couple of things I want to say briefly by way of introduction before the main part of what I want to share this morning. Two verses just briefly to reflect on. First of all, of course, we are reminded that these words, the words of Zechariah, were talking in the first part about his son, John the Baptist, who was his son. And he says of John the Baptist that you will go on ahead to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. To prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. Now, friends, much in line with what I was saying just a few moments ago, my question to you is this: what actually are you doing right now in your lives to prepare for the coming of the Lord? I'm not talking about getting the decorations up or writing your cards or choosing your menus or buying a new designer outfit for the office party. I mean, there's lots of stuff to get ready. But in here, spiritually speaking, what are you doing right now through this season of Advent to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord so that when there is a knock on the door of your heart on Christmas Eve, the answer won't be that there's no room here? Will there be room in your heart for the Christ child to be born again this Christmas time? Now, that may require you to do some gutting out. That may require you to do some clearing. What do you need to be doing now to ready yourself for Christ the King coming? The second verse I want to just touch on in the passing is this one. The promise that comes that Jesus will bring salvation from enemies and allow us to serve Him without fear. That we might serve the Lord in all our days without fear. I can say that applies to me. I come here on a Sunday. I go about my business as a Christian without fear in this land. But as we reflect on and appreciate that privilege that is ours, let us remember that there are many of our brothers and sisters across other parts of the world for whom this prophecy has not yet come to fruition. In other words, there are those still who cannot worship and serve Him without fear. In fact, the very opposite is true. Every act of service, every moment of worship is conducted in an atmosphere of fear because of the oppression that is visited upon Christians here and there around the world. I still don't think that the people, that the Western world has grasped this truth. That according to Human Rights Watch across the world, right now, Christians are the most persecuted people group. And in our comfortableness, it is so easy to forget that. We serve the Lord without fear. Others live in fear. But let us be in awe of them. Because though they live in fear, they continue to serve. And though they live in fear, they continue to worship. Which should make us cast our heads in shame. Because there are Sundays when we don't bother because I may be doing something else. There are times when doors of opportunity open by which we might serve in the world and we don't because we're too busy or something else cropped up. But those who live in fear continue to serve and should be an inspiration to us. Well, these were asides, as it were, but I felt worth saying today. What I mainly want to say today is that in a few years' time, the whole world will recognize that it's been 50 years since the first man stepped on the moon. That's mainly what I wanted to say today. You've got a few years to prepare, to get your head around that. 50 years since the first man stepped on the moon. One small step. I want to tell you, though, about a much more important step. Neil Armstrong took one small step for mankind. But in coming into the world, God took one gigantic step for mankind. By God coming into the world, by God stepping on this earth, everything changes. And here we have it in the Gospel of Luke as we read it this morning. Let us praise the Lord, the God of Israel and our God. He has come to his people. That's Christmas. That is what it's all about. I know we home in on the stories of the wise men and what happened in that stable, but the theological truth going on, the life-changing truth behind it all is this one. He has come to his people. This God does not remain distant. This God is not uncaring. This God has come to his people. And that makes all the difference in the world. This God knows our life. This God understands our every step because he took those steps. One gigantic step when he came into this world and to his people. But this is the most important part. He didn't come as a passing visitor or as a tourist. He came for real. He came to take it all on. I wonder if any of you watched the documentary on BBC Two on Sunday past, featuring a true Scottish heroine. And yet the reality is that 98% of us sitting in church today are looking at her and are not knowing who it is. If you're the exception to the rule, stick your hand up. There's a few. I'm pleased indeed. There's a few of you. This is Jane Haining, a Scottish heroine, born in the little village of Dunscombe near Dumfries in the Scottish borders. And he became a missionary of the Church of Scotland and was sent to Budapest to serve there as the matron in a girls' school. A school that was made up of both Christians and Jews. Largely, though, Jews. Jane Haining went there in the 1930s. And as that decade wore on, the dark shadow of tyranny, of Nazism, began to bear ever darker over the continent of Europe. Particularly, the plight that lay in store for the Jewish populace. And as it became clear what was coming, the Church of Scotland wrote to Jane Haining, asking her to come home because it was going to be too dangerous. In a moment of supreme disobedience, she ignored the letter. There followed an order, the strictest possible order, that she was to leave Budapest immediately and come home to Scotland for her own sake, for her own safety. And still she refused. And still she stayed, saying to herself this: if my girls needed me, when the sun was shining, all the more will they need me when night comes. And so World War II began. Nazism let loose. And sure enough, Jane Haining stayed with her girls, stayed with her charges, all the way through until in 1944, she herself was taken to the camp at Auschwitz, and after 2 months of internment, she was sent to the gas chambers and died. Now, I'm inspired by the story, by her bravery and her heroism. That alone moves me. But for me, the story of Jane Haining serves as a brilliant illustration of God coming to his people in Christ Jesus. Of Jesus coming into the world. You see, just as Jane Haining could have got out back to safety, so I believe that Jesus could have opted out of what lay in store. But on a fateful night, he chose to stay. And just as Jane Haining's decision cost her her life, so Christ Jesus on Calvary gave up his life. Friends, Jane Haining died for those girls who were her responsibility. Christ Jesus died for you. He came into the world and stayed all the way to Calvary for you. You're thinking I'm talking about Easter and it's Christmas, but this is the Christmas story. That Jesus Christ came into the world. This is the Christmas story. You can't just do the Bethlehem bit without the Calvary bit. He came into the world and stayed in the world. To die for you. My heart is filled to overflowing with thankfulness at this great truth. He came to his people. Do you know what that means? It means he came to me. And you can say that for yourself. He came to you. And he stayed for you. He stayed and died for you. Let's bow our heads in prayer.